Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 John. There's only one chapter, so if you find 2 John chapter 2, you're in the wrong John. It's right before the book of Revelation. That's the best way to say it. Yes, Brother Scott, it's after the book of Psalms. Yeah. 2 John, verse number 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Look at one more verse here. We read it last week, I believe, but we'll read it again. Verse number 9. Revelation 12, verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Tonight, I want to talk to you about another job title or duty or whatever you want to call it of the devil. That is this, the devil as the deceiver. The devil as the deceiver. Nothing that the devil does is separated from this one title. This may be the most effective tool of the devil. The title, this title is kind of the foundation of every other thing and every other title that the devil is. If you remember, you go back to Genesis 3, and the serpent beguiled Eve. What does the word beguile mean? It means to deceive. It's deceit. And tonight, we're going to look at this, and honestly, the term deceiver is kind of the foundation of all the other titles, and we have many of these to go yet. I may not go through every one of them, but we have quite a few. But it's the foundation of what and who the devil really is. He is a deceiver. His role is to deceive. He is the master of this craft. What does the word deceive mean? Let me give you some definitions here. It means to cause to go astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. Yes, sir. To seduce. To wander. Reminds me of a verse that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Right. To make one believe what is not true. Here's where we get into the core of it. It means to mislead. It means to cheat. It means to divert away. That means this. When you are misleading somebody, you're being a deceiver. When you cheat, whether yourself or someone else, you're being a deceiver. Young people in school, you didn't get an answer right, but you go to the score key and write down the right answer, and that's called deceiving. You didn't go back and do the work yourself. That's misleading to say, hey, I got the right answer. To divert attention away from something. That means you got caught doing something, but you don't want somebody to know. That's called being a deceiver. The devil has mastered making us believe what is not true. One of the biggest industries in America is called Hollywood. And not a bit of it true. Every bit of it is fake. If you've never been to LA to see the TV studios, it's just giant warehouse after giant warehouse of TV studio settings. There's nothing about it that's real. The devil has learned how to present lies as truth so that people will believe them. He misleads people about how good sin is to forget the pain that goes with it. Why is it that somebody will drink and go right back to it? Somebody will get drunk and then they'll go right back to it. Why is it somebody will do something wrong, go to jail, get out, and they're constantly going back and forth from freedom to jail because they never conquer it because the devil has misled them? Why does a drug user keep returning to the drugs? Because the devil has misled them. By the way, alcoholism is not a disease. Drug addiction is not a disease. Cancer from cigarettes is not a disease. That's something you did on purpose. If I came up here and I said, I got a bottle of the flu, you drink that, it's going to make you throw up and be sick for a week. How many of you are going to come up and do it? But yet we can sell the poison in the stores called alcohol by the millions of gallons in America. And it does the same thing to you. Now, we've been misled, and the devil is very good at this. I just named a few. There's so many things I could get into. I'm not going to because I'll be here all night. Let's look at this term deceiver a little bit more deeply. And may I help you? Everybody look at me for just a second. We all are deceivers. You say, well, I'm not. You've just deceived yourself. Flat out. None of us are above this. And I want to help you tonight. Number one, misleading is the same as deceiving. Misleading is the same as deceiving. I'm going to use a very strange illustration, but one that I believe will illustrate it best. A hunter is a deceiver. Amen, Brother Steve? If you're going to go out deer hunting, what do? Well, you put on camouflage so that you can blend in so that the deer supposedly can't see you being there. Not only that, you get certain calls. You can get grunts that sound like a doe, or you can get grunts that sound like a buck. You can get sounds like a doe she's looking for a boyfriend and he's looking for a girlfriend. Then they have these wonderful scents. It's called doe pee. There's one thing I'm glad I've lost my smell about, and that's that. I could spray a whole bottle of that and never smell it. And if you can't smell that, it's dead. Flat out dead. Every time I used to smell that, I'd say, thank God I'm not a deer. Because that does not smell good. But that old buck, he can smell it from a couple hundred yards away, and he'll take his old nose and lick his nose and curl his lip up, and he's searching the air for it. What are you doing? You're putting all those things out to deceive that deer into thinking, watch this, you're deceiving that deer to be something that you're not. You're not a deer. You're waiting there to destroy him. That is exactly what the devil does. You'll get decoys. You'll be in a blind or a tree stand, covered up. I go on and on. All the things we do to deceive a stupid old deer. Why? So he'll walk by close enough for you to pull back your bow and shoot it through the heart, or pull the scope up and put your rifle on him and bust him good and drop him down. All of that is misleading. The purpose, watch this, the purpose of the misleading was to destroy. Misleading something usually ends in destruction. You try to be something to your prey that you are not, so you can destroy it. The devil tries to get Christians to be like the world to reach the world. Modern religion. Well, let's be like the world so more of the world will come hear about Jesus. That's a bunch of garbage. There are churches in our area that will set up swimming pools and say, okay, let's have all the young people come and in their bathing suits to come to church, and we'll have a bunch of teenagers, and they all can strip down to their underwear and sit around a pool and let's talk about Jesus. Right. We bring in the world's music and we want to put God's words to it. First of all, you can't even understand the words because of the stupid music. And then you got people dancing around like you would in a nightclub. What good is it? Hello. Amy Grant was the first one to do what they called crossover music, and that was bringing rock music in with godly words, so to speak. And then you had Patty and others. What were they trying to do? They were trying to hold hands with the world and hold hands with God and stretch the fence and say, let me be the bridge for everybody. And so all you did is bust your britches on the fence. Made a mess of yourself. We have modern technology for church services, and you got the light shows and all the colored lights and the smoke machines and the drums up on the platform, and you got all the stuff going on, big screens, and let's all do this, and you don't need to bring your Bible, we'll put it up on the screen for you, and if you don't like that version, we'll put 10 of them up there. We think we have to keep up with the world when we're supposed to be keeping up with God, not the world. It boggles my brain. Churches have quit knocking on doors. They have computer programs now that will call people or email them and give them the gospel, and we don't have to go door to door and be offensive. Well, show me in the Bible where we're supposed to use social media or a computer to reach people. My Bible says door to door, house to house. He said, be my witnesses everywhere you go. Now, if you can do it by that, I don't care. We had a company call here a year or so ago. Called the office and my secretary took the call. She said, well, how do you advertise? She said, we go door to door. Well, what if that doesn't work? What do you do? She said, we go to more doors. Well, we have this computer program. She said, you don't realize my pastor doesn't even have a computer. They didn't know what to do. They had no idea that there was churches that would actually go door to door. Yeah, that's the way we're supposed to do it. Say, does everybody like it? No, I get phone calls every so often, and I love it. I get nasty emails. It doesn't bother me. I had somebody complain that for the second time in a year, we knocked on their door. I responded. I said, do you want me to publish your address to everybody in my church? They said, no. I said, then there's no way I can control that. I said, you may not like it, just don't answer the door. I don't know what else to tell you. I wasn't being unkind, but I can't guarantee you're not going to knock on their door. Right. Say, what would you do? I would go back next week and knock on it just to make sure we got it. I had thought about it, but I didn't. The devil misleads. What's he want us to do? He wants us to be more like the world. That's these churches. Come as you are. Come in your pajamas and your slippers. Come in your whatever, and we'll just accept you because, you know, good God, good devil, good grief. No, there used to be something called Sunday go to meeting clothes. Used to be you dressed up to go to God's house. Used to be that you gave God your best, not your leftovers. I better move on. So misleading is the same as deceiving. By the way, the hunting analogy is very true, but it also goes with that the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. When you mislead your parents that you didn't do something that you did, you're like the devil. When you mislead a friend or somebody else into thinking you're not what you are, you're like the devil. Number two. Oh, this is going to be a good one. I love you. Not telling all of the truth is deceiving. There's a reason in our court system, a couple hundred years ago, they came up with a statement to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. So, well, I gave some of the truth. I just didn't say everything. Then you deceived. A part of the truth can cause people to assume what is not there. The United States Press does this every day. They only give you part of the truth. They never print the rest of it. They never tell you the rest of it. Partial lies are still lies. Amen. Well, I didn't lie. I just didn't tell all the truth. Then you lied. Everybody doing all right? Turn to John 8. John 8. Look at verse 44. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Look at me for a second here. The Bible says that there is no truth in the devil. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the truth. The devil is the absence of truth. And when you don't tell all the truth, you're being like the devil, not like Jesus. Because he is the truth. You say, well, I gave part of it. Oh, so you're an antichrist. That's what the word antichrist means. That's what we read in 2 John 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And if you don't have all the truth, then you're portraying the truth as Jesus, but you're not giving all the truth. You're an antichrist. Amen. A preacher that preaches the wrong gospel and preaches the wrong Bible is an antichrist. Amen. I didn't say it. God did. I didn't label them. Their lack of truth labels them. Everybody doing okay? Misleading information about why you got in trouble is deceit. Well, somebody else did it. Wait a minute. Nobody held a gun to your head to do wrong. Everybody wants to blame somebody else for their wrong. Can I tell you who to blame? Go look in the mirror. It doesn't matter if this entire church is going the wrong direction. My job is to keep us going the right direction. Say, well, not everybody's going to like it, preacher. So, sometimes I don't like it either. One of our good people, I won't say who, but just today thanked me for some of the stands that we take here. And even our young people, where they're going to camp, they shot me a screenshot of this liberal, quote-unquote, Christian camp. I understood what that meant. Yeah, sometimes it's hard. Guess what? I'd rather do the hard thing than the easy thing. Amen. Say why? Because usually the hard thing produces. Easy stuff doesn't. That means school. Quit misleading about what happens at school. Tell the truth. That means in Sunday school or church, tell the truth. Let's get on the adult here. That means at work, tell the truth. Don't lie to the boss. Don't mislead at work. Shoot. You better be glad you didn't have my dad for a dad. Everywhere I went, he told every boss I had to fire me. I was glad when I got in the ministry full time because he couldn't tell God that. He probably did too. Wait a second. You say, what? My dad said, look, if he doesn't work and work hard, fire him. Every day I went to work, all I heard was those words from my dad saying, I'm going to get fired. So what'd you do? I worked hard. Learn to tell the truth and grow from it and go on no matter the fallout. Let me make a statement here. We're like the devil when we lie and deceive for any reason. Do you know you'll learn more from your mistakes than from your successes? You say, why? Because usually the mistakes are harder to overcome. Young people, it's not a sinful thing to get an answer wrong in your schoolwork. It is to lie and cheat about it and deceive about it. Because then you'll never learn it, and then from there on you've built a pattern in your life you'll carry with you the rest of your life. Learn to have the integrity to say, I did wrong. I was wrong. There's nothing criminal in being wrong. It is criminal to lie and deceive. Number three. Don't put your shoes on yet, ladies. Making statements that cause people to wonder what you mean is deceit. Everybody listen to me. I'm going to talk in my field for a moment here. Preachers that get up and say, well, the Bible is preserved, but it's not still inspired. That's a deceiver. That causes you to wonder then, what if the Bible isn't real? Amen. That's why Revelation 22, 18 and 19 are in the scriptures. He that adds to and takes away from the words of the prophecy of this book. It does not say take the words away. It means taking from the authority. Take the authority of the scripture away. That's why when El Papa gets up and speaks ex cathedra in the place of God, he's an antichrist. Come on now. I don't care if he's got a $500,000 grapefruit on his head or not. Yeah. I don't care if it's Pope Leo or Pope Pius or Pope on a rope. It doesn't matter to me. You say, but that's a religious figure, preacher. Yeah, and Jesus called them whited sepulchers. Religion has done more to destroy Christianity than anything. And it's about time we start getting our answers straight here. You all will go on vacation and sometimes ask me, preacher, we're going to be in such and such place. Can you find a good church for us to go to? And I'll look up in the area, and first thing I do is go to their statement of faith. First place I go is salvation. The second place I go is the Word of God. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, but we teach it from a historical point of view. Gag. That means they don't know how to preach the Bible. The Bible is not a history book. It's not from man's point of view, it's from God's mouth to man's ear. It is the word of God, word for word, given by God. And it has full authority. Well, we believe that the King James Bible is the clearest of all versions. I'm glad you believe that, but it's still not strong enough for me. It is the word of God. Bible says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If there's not an every word somewhere, then God's a liar and we're all going to hell. I got more respect for somebody who gets up and says, I believe the RSV is the real Bible, than somebody says, well, we just accept whatever you want. Hello. It always amazes me when visitors will come and we start reading from the Bible and they're like, I already know they got the wrong one. I don't have to wonder very long. And I'll hit the King James Bible and it's like a dog getting a coon in a tree. And the ones that like it are okay, and the ones that don't, they're ready to find another tree. Listen to me. This is kind of like, don't get angry with me, but it's kind of like Baptist curse words. You won't use a curse word, but you'll use a replacement word for it. What are those? I'm not going there. You don't have to ask. You're already laughing about the ones you use. Making statements that cause people to be led astray. When the preacher's preaching and you look at somebody and you roll your eyes at him like, here he goes again. Oh, sweetheart, you just added 10 more minutes to the sermon. I can put up with a lot. Don't roll your eyes at me. My daughter knows I can catch that faster than anybody. And I'll never forget the day she was teaching school and she called home and said, Daddy, now I know why you used to whip me when I rolled my eyes. I said, yep, now you learned. She was teaching fifth grade, and boy, did she learn some lessons. Amen? There's times where just your body posture. Hello. That's called deceit. That means I'll do what you say, but I'm inside rebelling. I got to go on. Number four. Living a double life is deceptive. Living a double life. Now, please hang on with me. I believe we're supposed to be a Christian 24 hours a day, 365 and a quarter days a year. Home and church. If you have to live one way at home and you live another way at church, that's called living a double life. I don't know how else to say that. And here's where some don't like the way I preach. I don't think that we ought to make church like home. I think we ought to make home like church. We're going the wrong direction. We're asking the tail to wag the dog instead of the dog to wag the tail. You say, why? Because this is where it's preached. This is where it's given. This is where it should be purest. Why should it be any different at home? I will tell you this. You're going to forget one day where you're at. Or your kids are going to forget. Man, I've heard some stories. Preacher, I love coming to church because it's the only time my mommy and daddy talk nice. I've heard kids say that. I've been there. You say, I can't believe my child. I didn't say it was your child. But you say something about a child lying. Oh, my child would never lie. Do you really want me to tell you what they say about what happens at home? Yeah, the father of it, amen. You start living this double life, eventually it will catch up. It will catch up with your kids. It'll catch up with your spouse. It'll catch up with God. You're going to forget which one you're doing. And by the way, it's going to mess people's lives up, including your own. It really will. Number five. God commands us not to be deceived by the devil. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now I want you to notice how God words this. Look at verse number 7. Be not what?
Deceived.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, or the devil, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap spiritual life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now notice something. God says, be not deceived. Who's the deceiver? God? No, the devil is. That's a command. That's not a request. God didn't say, will you please work at not being deceived? He said, be not deceived. How do you become not deceived? Well, you have to associate yourself with truth. Because deceit works on error, not truth. Everybody understand that? Anybody that's worked in the banking industry, they'll teach you how to find counterfeiting by not looking at counterfeit bills. You read and study and you look at and examine real money first. They'll put a big pile of money there and they'll put a fake one in there and you just start counting and looking and counting and looking, and eventually you've handled enough of the real thing that when the fake gets there you go, whoop, something's not right here. Why? Because you've handled the truth so long that you don't study the error. Bible colleges have gone a wrong direction for many decades. When you start teaching classes on cults, hello? I don't need to know what the Catholics believe to preach the truth. I don't need to know what the Seventh-day Adventists believe to preach the truth. I don't need to know what the morons or the Mormons believe to preach the truth. I don't need to know what the Church of God, Church of Christ, Pentecostals, Church of England, Church of the Orthodox Church, Greek Orthodox, any religion. I don't need to know what those are to preach the truth. I am to preach the truth, only the truth, and let everything else reveal itself.
Amen.
By preaching the truth and handling the truth, error reveals itself. There's Baptists I don't agree with. Just because the sign says Baptist doesn't mean I agree with them. So obviously it's not the name on the sign, it's the truth that's either being taught or not being taught. That being said, go back to Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look at me. Sowing and reaping takes time. You don't plant grass seed today and it grows tomorrow. Now, I planted that out there last week and it's growing like crazy. But if you planted corn today, you're not going to get corn tomorrow. Yeah. Say why? Because it takes a while for that sowing to turn into the plant, to turn into the fruit that comes. And time in truth will reveal error.
Amen.
Don't get ahead of truth, just learn truth. At the proper time, error will reveal itself.
Amen.
For people in this room, you got saved a little bit later in life. You didn't know drinking was bad. Then you've heard the preacher preach and said, what's that mean? And over a period of time, you decided, maybe I shouldn't have any of that anymore. Others in the church may have said, well, how come they're not giving that up right away? Because they're not as spiritual as you are, you idiot. Give them time to grow. My granddaughter was born a year ago. It took her 10 and a half months before she learned how to walk. And that's pretty quick. Now, wait a second. Just because you were born doesn't mean you just pop out, start walking and running and eating steak. When you get born again, you don't know it all. It takes time to grow up. Give people time. Did you know not everybody grows at the same rate? Just like you go to a field of corn, not every stalk of corn grows at the same rate. Not every stalk of corn will produce accordingly. Some parts of the field might get too much water, some not enough, some too much shade, some too much sun. But as a general rule, you'll have a balance. That's why they'll call it how many bushel per acre, not how many bushel per plant. Everybody doing okay? That's true with people too. Not everybody grows at the same rate. Some of us grow a little faster than others, and some grow in certain areas than others. Yeah, king of corn right down here. He usually drinks his, but he doesn't get bushels per acre, it's gallons per acre. Harvest is based on the planting, though. So if you keep planting truth, you're less apt to mislead.
Amen.
You're less apt to deceive by planting truth. The more error, the more untruth, the more lying you plant, the more deceitful you'll be. We all have flesh. We're all sinners. We're all going to sin. But God says the more that we'll yield to the Spirit and not to the flesh, the less deceitful we are and less like the devil that we'll be. It's when we, well, I can do that and get away with it. Hello. The only way to overpower the flesh is with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, which is truth. You think the Bible is the answer to everything. You're getting it. You're getting it. Because if you can keep enough Bible in you and the Holy Spirit is in there, when the wrong comes, the Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, stupid, don't do that. Come on now, don't do that. Oh, I can do it and get away with it. And all of a sudden a verse starts popping in your head. Jesus is the source of all truth. He is the Word of God. And it is through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit of God works. And that is how you overpower the flesh, not with your flesh, but with the Word of God and truth. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For many deceivers are entered into this world. Notice he calls deceivers antichrist. This isn't a scriptural term, but I wonder how many Christians are living an anti-Christian life. You have the facade. You have the deceit of being a Christian, and yet behind closed doors, old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you are what you are when you're by yourself in the dark. What kind of Christian are you when nobody else is around? What are you doing and thinking? Then you'll find out what kind of Christian you are. Not at church. It's when you're by yourself. The devil's a deceiver. He's the master of this role and plays it well. Don't be ignorant that the devil's devices is a deceiver. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Let's not be deceivers. Let's not deceive ourselves. Let's live in the truth. Let's live by the truth. Let's live for the truth. And let's not let the devil get us as a deceiver.